Assalamualaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja, and today on the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast at American Muslim Community Foundation, we have on with us Nosheena Hussain, and she is the executive director of an organization called Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment. Welcome, Nosheena.
Thank you, Muhi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Likewise. So, Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment, also known as RISE, such a fantastic organization that I've been able to learn about the last several years. But before we jump into all of that, please share a little bit more about yourself, where you grew up, where you live, and any school or whatever else you want to talk more about.
Yeah, so I was born in Chicago, Illinois, to immigrant parents who migrated from India, Hyderabad, India, and I grew up in the suburbs. We were a growing family, so I actually went to four different elementary schools.
Elementary schools.
Yeah, just that. Four. So I had to make friends quickly, often, and it was okay because by the time I got to middle school, I knew everybody. So it actually paid off later on in life. But I think that's probably what contributes to my networking skills and always wanting to meet new people and chat and build relationships. I went to Benedictine University, and like every, I think, Hyderabadi child, I was on a route to become a doctor, did my pre-med, and decided, yeah, I don't think this is the right thing for me. So switched gears. I got married and moved to Minnesota. And here I decided to pursue an MBA and landed in a couple different corporate jobs, working in marketing, and have two wonderful children. In fact, my daughter is graduating from college,
wow,
like 2 days after Eid. So it just feels a little surreal that I had this baby girl and now I have a full-fledged adult. I also have a son who's 17 next month and a cat. Her name is Khushi, which means joy in Urdu. So in my corporate life, I got to a point where I was like, what am I doing here? What's my purpose? Remember when the housing market crashed and like that bubble
a few times.
Part?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was around probably 2008 and then 2011. Mm-hmm. But in 2011, it really hit me hard because here I was seeing people's lives really falling apart, and I was being asked to sell flat screen TVs and DJ equipment to people who I didn't really know if they had a house, right? So I made a decision that I wanted to do something more meaningful, and lo and behold, Allah sent me a new opportunity to leave the for-profit world and enter into the nonprofit sector. And so I made that change and started to work for CARE Minnesota, which, okay, you know, Council of American Islamic Relations. And I was actually their development director, wrote one grant in my entire life and found a job in development and fundraising. But you know what? A lot of it has to do with my marketing degree and my marketing background, right? I think grant making, fundraising is a lot about storytelling and building
for
relationships.
Sure.
And that really, really, you know, came to light when I started working there. And while I was there, I looked around and I saw, wow, there's a lot going on here, but not in the right direction. So every year we would have our Ramadan banquet dinner. Mm-hmm. We'd have all these donors. We'd be writing grants. And every time I looked around, I just saw, like, why aren't Muslims setting the stage and the tone when it comes to philanthropy? Why are we always donating for these short-term projects and not looking long-term?
Sounds familiar.
Right. And then I also noticed that, you know, we spent a lot of time protecting rights and teaching people about their rights as Muslims. And most of the Islamophobia that we face is actually by Muslim women. Right? Gendered Islamophobia is actually a real thing. Over 70% of our cases were of Muslim women being harassed or attacked and victims of hate crimes. And all I kept thinking was like, but I don't see Muslim women at the in those leadership positions. I don't see them mm-hmm. at the forefront of a lot of this civil rights work and social change and social justice work. And so I gathered a group of friends and I said, you know, we should talk about what is holding us back. And from that conversation in 2015, we talked about leadership, we talked about civic engagement, and we talked about philanthropy. And it was in that moment that we realized Muslim women are actually doing a lot of great work and being unrecognized. And they're actually big on giving and charitable giving, and just nobody knows about it. So
we felt
that we needed to establish a platform. And so that day, Rise was born.
I love it. And, you know, many like you have, you know, either made a career shift or like to focus on passion projects or just get involved in the nonprofit world. So for you, like, you know, whether it was the economic downturn and then like the opportunity to kind of take a moment and reflect and see what you wanted to do. But what advice would you have for people who are maybe in a similar situation where they've always been passionate about other things, but maybe their career was in something else? So what advice would you have for them to kind of lean into the other side of things?
Yeah, I think you've got to sit down and really ask the question, why, right? Like, why do you want to do this? What are you going to get out of it? What is going to be meaningful for you? And for me, I needed to understand, like, what is this? What is the purpose and meaning of this life, right? And what was helpful also was to talking to a lot of different people, right? So there are many of us who have transitioned from that for-profit corporate world to this nonprofit sector. And we're here to like help mentor and guide and share our experiences with you. So reach out. I always talk about how, you know, just like organizations have boards, I think people need to have personal boards. And those personal That's boards great. have to have like a mentor, a coach, a champion, a spiritual leader, somebody to guide you, somebody to advise you, somebody who's not going to judge you, but be there, like, you know, in your corner rooting for you. And I was very fortunate that I had a lot of these people in my corner who advised me, and I had their support. And, you know, and you know, because we're Muslim, got to believe in Allah's plan and his qadr and his tawakkul. And I really leaned into that. It was like, I am being called to something greater than, you know, the bottom dollar, the bottom line of a corporate's finances. So it felt like this is the moment. And sometimes you've got to take that leap. And you've got to hope that, you know, Allah's there to catch you and guide you, and so are the people around you.
That is such a great reminder, and something that, you know, I try to put into my life of like just being able to check in with a mentor or a friend that can really set me straight. So, you know, that's definitely a good way to remember those things and pull back and see what are the things that motivate you and kind of stick to that as well. So I know you were also a Bush Fellow in 2016. So tell us a little bit more about that leadership opportunity and how that empowered you to do more in this nonprofit field.
Yeah. So in 2015, there's a lot going on. One, you know, still working at CARE, this idea of RISE was kind of percolating. And then this opportunity to apply for a fellowship through the Bush Foundation appeared. And I thought, hey, let me apply to this. Let's see if I have a shot at this. And mind you, I had applied before and not gotten it. And it gave me some time, right, to really think about my idea and to think about what is it in my own leadership development that I want to invest in. And I applied, went through so many rounds of like interviews and applications. And then finally, in the early part of 2016, you have this like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hour interview with like just 30 minutes with different community members. And it's really intense. But when I left that interview, I remember thinking, I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing with Rise. And if I get this fellowship or not, it won't be in the world. I will continue pursuing it. So just not that feeling of like, hey, if I don't get it, I don't get it. If I do, perfect. It'll just help me, you know, the trajectory will be so much faster. And so, so alhamdulillah, I did get it. And it just gave me the space to be able to learn all those tools and the nonprofit skills that I needed, right? Mm-hmm. It's one thing to work in a nonprofit. It's another to like build it from the ground up, right? I needed a map. And so the fellowship, which was a 2-year program, provided me with that space and time to go out and pursue different conferences, different classes, workshops. You know, I did a week long study in Harvard around women in power. Wow. And it just allowed me to not only like grow my network and meet other women and other up and coming change makers, but also let me have time for myself and be able to reflect on who I am, what are my identities and where I come from, to be then able to lead my nonprofit.
Really cool. So I think this brings us to a good point to really ask you, like, once Rise was formed, like, what were those programs and services that you set out with, and kind of in terms of today, what are those same programs and services and how have they evolved?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I first started, I knew that we would be doing something around leadership development and something around civic engagement and something within philanthropy. But what's important to note is that Rise has always listened to other Muslim sisters, and we wanted to be very responsive to what they needed. So, for example, with leadership development, we did all kinds of different panels. We did one on media, we did one on civic engagement, we did one on philanthropy. And what we heard, especially in the civic engagement panel, was, I don't even understand anything about civic engagement except voting and running for office. What else happens in between? Right. And so we started to teach women how to caucus. We started teaching them about primaries, about how understanding who is running and who's on the ballot. And also, like, not just to worry about the presidential, but to be able to vote all the way down on the ballot. So our program for around civic engagement has just really taken off and is one of our sort of pillars of the organization. Now, the other one around leadership development was really about, you know, Muslim women, we were asking them, why are we not seeing you in certain, like, at certain tables and positions of power? And what is it that you need to help you? And so there are basic things like, I'm not strong at public speaking. I need to build my confidence. How do I network, which, you know, is at times very awkward and uncomfortable? How do I tell my story without feeling like I'm bragging about myself? So we thought about doing just like single workshops, but instead we decided on a whim to host a annual leadership development conference just for Muslim women. And every nice. Year it is sold out. It's just amazing to see the turnout and that is such a need for this, right? Need for this space for Muslim women to come together, see other trainers and experts that look like them, being able to teach them to lead in their communities. And then, so we've got leadership development and civic engagement. And then our third program area is storytelling, which was never on the docket, okay? And this one is just like, you know, again, Allah's plan. So I just remember when we think of Muslim women, and this is like, you know, 5-6 years ago, we only saw them in two contexts, right? Either they were victims of hate crimes or they were terrorists. So that's what Muslim women were looked at as oppressed and backwards and uneducated and all these other things. And I was like, why do we have this negative narrative about us? And what we came up with was, wow, somebody else is actually telling our story for us. And the only way to change that narrative is if we start telling our stories ourselves. So we launched a storytelling project called Muslim Sheroes of Minnesota. And it's one of the most exciting programs that we have because it really just highlights whom we would think are like ordinary, everyday people who are doing very heroic work in their communities. And, you know, we've profiled over 30 Muslim women, and it's just amazing to see the diversity. Even with doing these 30, we still have like so many other profiles that we want to share. And it's really exciting to see these positive, uplifting, amazing women who are just trailblazers in their communities. And so we're excited about that work. And so those are our three major programs.
For sure. And I can see how they all revolve around empowerment and just being able to create that sisterhood. In terms of, you know, the organization's continued growth over this time period, you know, I know that you had been also taking some of the courses from Center on Muslim Philanthropy, you know, the courses that are on like developing annual sustainability and developing major gifts. And, you know, beyond just the nonprofit best practices and techniques, and you talked a little bit about philanthropy as well, how has taking some of those courses helped the organization grow?
Well, one thing, it just really broadened the understanding of what fundraising is, right? Everybody fears that word, the fact that they have to ask somebody to give. And what I loved about, you know, Center of Muslim Philanthropy was this is like the art of joyful giving. It's trying to help people live out their dreams through your organization's mission. And that really, you know, it reminds me of how we are inviting people to good. And that's very different, right, than saying, like begging for a donation. And it all comes down to building relationships, right? Like calling people and asking them about, you know, what do you think RISE does? What do you think we should be doing, right? Soliciting advice and listening to that. And our donors aren't just people with money. They're actually our constituents, right? They're actually the people who we're serving, and they're us. So to me, it just feels like it's like family almost.
For sure. Like, you know, fundraising is like the Muslim nonprofit bad F word. It's like the one that you don't want to say, you don't want to hear about it. Nobody wants to be involved with it. But, you know, when you talk about the joy of giving, like that's what it should focus on. I think you hit it right on the head with that. And, you know, over the last year as well, you know, I've been able to be a peer and student with you in the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy and the Zakat Institute Fellowship. So just really seeing the depth of the program and the coursework, what do you feel has helped you in your as an executive director at RISE?
I mean, first of all, this was never on my radar. The fact that it came to me, like what a blessing, what an opportunity that we have received, right? I wasn't even going to sign up for those classes with CMP, right? But but good old Tayyib, Tayyib Yunus, he's a good friend. I said, you know, let's try this out. And from that built these other opportunities, right? And now when I'm in class with you and with all these other wonderful Muslim entrepreneurs and executives and nonprofit leaders, it just broadens my understanding of the impact that we have, because, you know, some of us are operating sort of in silos, but when we're like connected across, like, I mean, we have students across on the other side of the globe, right? I mean, it's just fascinating to read some of their work and their answers and their dialogue in our discussions, because it just opens up my understanding of who Muslims are historically in the realm of philanthropy. And, you know, Muhi, I was sharing with you about how in during my Bush fellowship, there was a time where I really wanted to understand my identity, right? Especially like who I am as a Hyderabadi Indian, like who are those people and who are Muslims in terms of like the Mughal Empire, the Ottoman Empire, and like this legacy that we had built. And as I study philanthropy, all of that just starts to come back. And I don't know, there's a huge sense of pride. And you know, we talk about internalized Islamophobia, right? Especially living in the United States and how that has hurt us. To see like these amazing stories of like how we established Awqaf or how we established endowments, right? Mm-hmm. And women were at the forefront of that, right? Like they're just such powerful, uplifting stories that just makes me realize I need to continue that legacy. And so these classes, this network that we're building with each other, just, it makes me feel like I'm part of something bigger.
For sure. So, you know, you bring up the history of endowments in Islam. And for those that don't know, some of the early examples of that are Maryam and Fatima al-Fihri, the Fihri sisters who acquired wealth from their family, but left it through their estate to set up Al-Qarawin University, the first university in the world. And then also a mosque in Morocco as well. So two prime examples of the great legacy that they were able to create. And these should be a source of pride for the entire Muslim community. And, you know, we're in Women's History Month. AMCF is highlighting women-led, women-focused initiatives. We've been doing Women's History Month initiative the last few years, and we've included, or proud to include RISE in that. So talk to us a little bit more about what Women's History Month means to you.
Yeah. I make this joke about how, it's going to be, it was March 27th, that is Muslim Women's History Month. And here is a day that we can just flood social media and all of our different outlets with positive stories for once, right? Not negative stories that media takes on all the time. But here is one day where we can show stories of inspiration, stories of powerful narratives, of joy. And you have to remember, like, we're not just celebrating these women who've done stuff. We are providing these like role models for our next generation, right? I remember growing up thinking, I don't have a lot of mentors that look like me when I was growing up in the going through those four different elementary schools.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know, when we've got Muslim Shiras of Minnesota or we have Muslim Women's History Month, this is us providing those role models and mentors for this next generation. And so I feel like this is a day for us to just feel really, really proud and powerful and happy.
For sure. I mean, between World Hijab Day and Muslim Women's Day, that's 2 days out of the year that you guys get to celebrate. So let's throw in Mother's Day. You know, we'll put in a few more. But honestly, like, you know, just seeing your commitment to RISE, being a student with you in the program, and just seeing the work that RISE has been able to do over the last few years, I want to commend you and your team on the fantastic work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. I have to definitely give a shout out to my team because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for their hard work. They are such a multi-talented group of amazing women. And we've had an amazing community response, right? I can't dismiss that. There are so many wonderful people in our community and across the nation that have been very supportive of the work that we've done. So we're very appreciative of our allies, of other Muslim women, of other contributors.
Yeah, for sure. And saw that you guys are receiving the Pillars Grant. So there's so much to celebrate. And you know, I also want to give an opportunity for you to talk a little bit more about just kind of how you feel, you know, over the growth of RISE, what have been some of those things that have been able to help you lead your team through this growth as well? Because it seems like there's a lot of excitement, you know, a lot of unique things that you're offering the community. And, you know, as 2020 was a very virtual year for so many, What are things that, as maybe a local organization now with like a national platform, like how are you hoping to grow with the organization as well?
Yeah, so we definitely, I think we pride ourselves on the relationships that we build, and not just with our individual constituents, with Muslim women, but also with like collaborating organizations. I feel that we wouldn't be where we are without those partnerships. And this is something I think that's very important is, you know, when you're doing this work, whether it's racial equity, gender equity, or any other social justice initiative, you can't do it alone. I mean, this is work that has to be done in solidarity with others. And so I feel that in 2020, because of the pandemic, I mean, all of us had to be on Zoom, and that just allowed us to be in community with people from across the country, right? We were talking to people on the East Coast, on the West right. Coast, on the South. And so that, I think, has helped us really be able to then recognize and see how other organizations have grown and how other organizations are doing the work they're doing, and how do we partner with them to make the platform bigger? Because I don't think it's about just one organization, right? This is about like the Ummah. And the Ummah isn't just Muslims, I think, right? It is all about community. And so I feel that one of the most important aspects of growth and development are those relationships.
For sure. In terms of how Rise is now, you know, what do you see next for Rise on the horizon?
What do I see next? Well, I don't know. I hope that we grow beyond Minnesota. I mean, I honestly feel that I don't know if we're going to be like a chapter model, but I do think that there is a lot of interest in developing different sort of cohorts around the country. And we've already been talking to some Muslim women in different states as well as different countries. So there's definitely opportunity to come together. One thing that I'm noticing is, and this kind of brings me back to like even 2015, 2016, is Muslim women did not feel that there were enough spaces for them to go to and connect. And I feel like that's really changed because of COVID, that, you know, now we're all on Zoom, so we can access these spaces a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But we need to really think about what are all these other spaces that Muslims in general are in that don't make it feel welcoming for our sisters? And whether they're masjids or mosques or Islamic centers, but is there a need for other spaces, third spaces for us to gather in? And I think that is really probably the most important part, aspect of this work, is making sure those connections are made with each other. So, and who knows, with civic engagement, you know, we've been talking about, we've been getting women to vote. Now we're getting the women to run for office. People are asking us to endorse candidates, and we're like, we're not sure. A C4. So I was surprised. I was like, we were this tiny little organization. Mm-hmm. And instead, you know, because we were able to mobilize, you know, and this is the one fascinating thing about Muslim women is like, we never go alone, right? We always bring others along. And so I think that mobilization is really the power of like how we make change in our communities.
Yeah, and I think that's also one of the reasons why AMCF was really excited to start the American Muslim Women's Giving Circle. And thank you for being a member. I remember when we met the first time at one of the Center on Muslim Philanthropy courses, like that was one of the things that, you know, you were really interested in. And now, you know, there's this national group who, inshallah, will be meeting virtually and nominating charities together and reviewing different causes across the country that are women-led, women-focused, and be able to give together and build community together. So I think your experience with Rise will be so valuable to the entire group. And I hope that, you know, more women across the country learn about the Giving Circle and find out more on how to participate as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this Giving Circle. I have been really fond of the whole concept of giving together, collectively giving. And, you know, I like the idea of, like, you know, you're bringing in this small pot, but then together it's such a larger impact. And it's very, very meaningful. Like, I have participated in a smaller giving circle before, and it isn't about the amount of money that you're giving. It is about the almost credibility and legitimacy that you are providing, along with, like, the self-confidence that this nonprofit needs from this backing of this, like, tribe of women. So I'm really excited about the giving circle with American Muslims.
For sure. And, you know, right now there's a few dozen women that are involved, but we're hoping that it grows to hundreds across the country.
I can't wait.
And I think, just like you said, it's about the experience of giving together, about learning about new causes. And any woman or even ally can give to the pot of funds. And whether it's a gift of $10 or $10,000, but, the idea being a voting member would give a minimum gift of $420 or more, and then they can nominate a charity as well. So we're really excited to see how it plays out. I know the leadership team and the founders of the Giving Circle are super excited as well. We had some really great discussions for the launch events in Women's History Month. So it was timely, and just really excited to work with this network of women who want to mobilize and build community together and do it through their philanthropy. Is there anything else that you'd like to share about RISE or tidbits on philanthropy, best practices? You're such a source of knowledge in so many different areas. So I want to give you an opportunity to really just share anything you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, I know that when I first started, I had no employees, you know, and I was doing a lot of the work myself. You've got to build a team. And that's probably one of the pieces of advice that I would like to give to everybody is, our nonprofits can't just be run by volunteers. As much as we love our volunteers and they do fantastic work, you do have to invest in people. And when you build that team, you have got to pay them their worth, because I don't want nonprofit jobs to just be stepping stones. They should be like rungs in the career ladder for people. And when I look at my team, I want them to be able to learn and grow and take those skills and then take it to the next level to another nonprofit and build that and grow that. And I feel like this is a platform not only to build leadership development skills for our constituents, but as well as, like, our staff and our team. So build your team, surround yourself with amazing talent, grow them, grow your sector, and grow your community.
For sure. I want one of our classmates to cite minute marker 32 and give credit to Noshina Hussain on, like, how equity and pay and everything needs to be involved in the nonprofit scene. So this is a credible source. You can cite it. Great. Well, you know, I think that's definitely timely advice. So many nonprofit organizations, not even, you know, even outside of the Muslim community, struggle with this. And, you know, alhamdulillah, I feel blessed, you know, in the development sphere of nonprofits, it's probably one of the more better paying, and outside of executive leadership and stuff like that. And, you know, I've had the experience of working outside of the Muslim community in development as well. And there's so many things that I would highly encourage people who are within the Muslim community to not only, you know, take those classes from Center on Muslim Philanthropy, so you get that better understanding, you get your certificate from Indiana University, take the Certified Fundraising Executive Exam, but then also try working outside of the Muslim community as well. There's so many things you'll learn, and you'll become a stronger nonprofit leader, and then come back to the community or serve on a board. So I think there's so many ways that our community can continue to benefit and grow. And if all the Muslim talent is within the Muslim community, what purpose does that serve as well? You know, we need to have ambassadors at foundations to build relationships and get more support and funding back to the Muslim community as well. So there's so many ways in which I hope to see our community grow, and You know, I think you are doing a fantastic example of that through the fellowship that you've had, through RISE, and through the Indiana University courses. So for those who don't know more about Noshina, you should definitely learn more about Noshina and RISE. You can find them and follow them on Instagram and Twitter at Reviving Sisterhood and then revivingsisterhood.org. Noshina, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. And I know I'm behind on so much homework, so I will try to catch up to you. You are a model student and also a model nonprofit leader. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
You're too kind. Thank you for having me, Mui. Appreciate it.
Of course. Take care. Salam.
Walaikum salam.